Hey, it's Luke here. Time for the next update on my world travels. Continuing the theme of being in the Southern Hemisphere, I'll take it as south as I'll probably ever get to, and that is Antarctica. Of course, it's probably the most south that anyone can get to, because Antarctica is the southernmost continent. It has the South Pole, of course, but also other facts about it. It's the coldest continent, of course. It's the highest continent on average, because, like, if you take slices, and more high ground on Antarctica than any other. It's the driest continent as well. You think, well, there's lots of snow and everything like that, but actually the snow just doesn't melt. So while the snow and the ice caps are like thousands and thousands of meters thick, it's taken thousands of years for this snow to build up. So actually the interior of Antarctica is the biggest desert in the world as well. It's 98% covered with ice, and it's the least populous continent as well. There's very, very few people who live there, going down to like hundreds of people who stay there for winter, and only up to a few thousand people who are there for the summer as well. And actually, when a big cruise ship turns up, like this one, it can probably, I'm not entirely sure what it does, but it probably doubles the amount of people in Antarctica at any time. Now, this is not my first time to Antarctica. A few years ago, I went there on the for Christmas of 2007. I was there on a small ship called the Marco Polo. And the Marco Polo is this old East German boat, which was converted into a cruise ship, but it still has like the ice-hardened hull, and it's got these little zodiacs as well. It has 12 zodiacs, which are the semi-inflatable boats. So when you get down to Antarctica on one of these smaller ships, which have got these ice-hardened hulls and the zodiacs, it means you can get on and off the ships, and that's what we did as well. We had four trips out in the zodiacs. One was just sort of to go around a bay, and we saw, of course, the penguins that you do there, and the leopard seals and things. And the other three were trips out to different bases and different places. We went to Half Moon Island and some other bases there as well. And it was one of the most amazing trips. No, I wouldn't say one of the most. It's probably the single most amazing place that I've been to, any trip that I've been to. On Christmas Eve, we had dinner and went up on deck and saw around about 50, it was between 50 and 60 whales, humpback whales, in one evening, breaching and slapping their tails in the water and stuff like that. And the birds down there are absolutely amazing as well. Of course, there's penguins all over the place, seals all over the place. For such an empty continent, the amount of wildlife that's in the sea and above the sea swimming as well is amazing. And the guest speakers on that trip were fantastic as well. The main featured speaker was Peter Hillary, son of Sir Edmund Hillary, and he was the main speaker, and he talked of his trips to the top of Mount Everest and his expeditions to K2, and also the time he went to the North Pole and the time he trekked to the South Pole. Fantastic speakers there. And of course, they always have all these lecturers talking about geology and marine biology and stuff like that. It was amazing, an amazing trip. And of course, I'll reference that more during this time. But this time, during this podcast, but this time I went down there. I was on the on a much bigger cruise ship. And now, when you're on a much bigger cruise ship, no, last time I was on a much smaller cruise ship, and this time on a much bigger cruise ship, you can't get on and off the cruise ship. There's too many people, and only ships with under 400 people on are allowed to take people on and off the ship in zodiacs onto the land or anything like that. Otherwise, it's it's too much pollution, too much degradation to the thing to the land, and also it disturbs wildlife and things like that. So this time, just what you call scenic cruising. So you go to the same destinations and you see the same things, but you just don't get off the ship. And I was thinking, well, yeah, of course, I'm going to do this. And this was actually, I was meant to only be on this cruise ship for 6 days, but then my agent called me up and said, they want you to extend. And I said, well, I'll only extend for a few days, maybe 3 or 4 days. And they said, oh, you can extend for 3 or 4 days, but then you can't get off the ship because it's going down to Antarctica and there's just nowhere to get on and off the ship. So either you go down to Antarctica or you don't go at all to South America. And I was like, well, of course I'll go down to Antarctica. But again, I was wondering, would it be worth doing it again, even though I've done it more and better before, because I've been able to get off the ship. And of course, the answer is yes. The place is still just as spectacular. It's just still like the vast vistas. And of course, we did see other places that I didn't get to see the last time I was down here. Because of course, you think, oh, it's Antarctica. Antarctica is a whole continent. Of course, we're only going to a peninsula. And you look at the Antarctic Peninsula, it doesn't look very big. But it takes days to sail from one end to the other, you know. So it's actually a massive place. Just because it's completely empty doesn't mean that you're not going to see new things each time you go down there. Unfortunately, though, this cruise that I'm on now is actually the last time anybody will be able to go down there on a big cruise ship like this, because they're put in place new regulations and new tax and stuff. So now there's no cruise ship that can go down to Antarctica which has over 400 passengers on it. So it's quite sad, actually, but I feel quite privileged that this cruise ship that we're on now is the only large cruise ship that is down in South America, which is doing trips to Antarctica. So it's the only cruise ship you can go down this year, and this cruise is the last of this year, and this year is the last year you'll be able to do it. So I'm on actually now the last large cruise ship that's going to go down there until at least 2018, when they might put in place a new Antarctic treaty. Which we'll see how that one goes out. But no, it's been a fantastic few days as well. First thing that we went down is we went down across the Drake Passage, which is not really fun. A first stop, well, it wasn't really a stop, because of course you're sailing around all the time. If you stop too much, the ice will bump into you and things like that, or you'll bump into the ice. You're always under power down in Antarctica all the time, and there's nowhere to really... you can't like throw the anchor out and drag it across. In fact, there's so many different regulations. Like I got a drink, a Coca-Cola, and I was like, oh, can I have a straw? And they're like, nope. And then I was going, oh, can I have this serviette for my... Nope. You're not allowed to have on any of the open decks straws, because they might blow away. Serviettes, because they might blow away. And they clear everything possible off the ships. There's no bins up there. You know, you have to keep everything in your pockets and things like that. So the environmental regulations are very strict. You're not allowed to smoke outside in case, you know, the ash gets blown overboard. And there's also no water or anything goes on or off the ship. Because normally when you're out at sea, the water is treated on these cruise ships, like the wastewater is treated to such an extent that it's actually cleaner than the water that they get out of the ocean. But even in Antarctica, nothing like that at all. So anyway, what was I? Yes, the first place that we then went down to is Elephant Island, which is up on the north tip of the Antarctic Peninsula, as it sort of sticks out there, sticking out. You always see it on the bottom of the world map, sticking out there. Elephant Island is like on the top right hand point of the Antarctic Peninsula. It's best known as Shackleton's landing point, the last place that Shackleton went to on his trip. Now, this was like when Shackleton was always going to be the first guy who reached the South Pole, but of course Amundsen and Scott reached there before him. So he set up this new expedition right at the very I think it's 1912 or something like that. He went down there and he was going to walk across Antarctica. He's going to be the first person to walk across. So he sent some people around to the far end or the far side of Antarctica, and him and the main expedition was going to set off from this side, from just like tucked underneath and the land underneath the Antarctic Peninsula. But they got caught in ice, and then they had to spend all winter in their boat completely stuck in ice. And so they all did that, and they all survived that. But then, of course, the ship broke up. I think it was the Endurance that they were on. That broke up and in the ice. And so then they had to trek across the ice, dragging the lifeboats that they had from the ship. And they dragged them across the ice, and they managed to get to a small island just in the middle of nowhere. And, of course, they couldn't do anything there. But none of them died, but they couldn't do anything there. So what happened was that Shackleton and a few of the men set off in a lifeboat to see if they could get to safety and to get like a boat to come down and pick up the rest of the crew. And so they just sailed, and all they could do was like look at the stars because they didn't have any good gear or anything like that. They had to rig up a lifeboat to go across Antarctica. And like I say, the waves down here, the sea down there is not pleasant. And they actually managed to get to Elephant Island. And now that's generally where people think the story ends. They get to Elephant Island, they meet up with some whalers, and they go and pick up the crew. And the legend of it is, or the truth of it is, that they never actually lost any men. And that's the amazing thing about Shackleton's journey. Go read it for yourself. I'm sure there'll be a great Wikipedia article about this. Now, I always thought, well, the hardest bit of the story is surviving winter trapped in ice, and then trekking across, and then getting up to Elephant Island on a lifeboat. And I always thought, well, what they did, they just landed and then they went across to the other end of the island and met up with the whalers there and were rescued. And I'm like, great. But then I actually look at the Elephant Island from a distance, and man, that is some immense terrain. I mean, the mountains are amazing, the glaciers there, and then the guide who was like announcing things over the tannoy on the ship said, and that bay up ahead there is the bay that Shackleton landed. And I look at it and I just go, oh man, because you land on that bay and it's just, you know, surrounded on all sides by cliffs and glaciers. And then they actually walked the length of Elephant Island to the whaling station at the far end. And that trip just by itself would have been amazing. And yet they did it at the end of this massive long sea journey and after a winter being stuck on the ice. So yeah, definitely read up about that. So that's the first place we saw. That night I did my show and actually never needed to use the juggling rings, which I talked about in the previous updates. I was up against the Super Bowl both nights, but I still did two good shows. But anyway, this is not about my show. So the next day we turn up to a place called Admiralty Bay, and that's where the Polish Antarctic bases. It's on an island in Admiral, and I can't remember the name of the island, but the place where it was, Admiralty Bay. We saw some whales there, and the Polish researchers actually got on the ship and they gave a lecture. I didn't actually go and see that though, mainly because I've been writing a novella kind of thing, which you can check out on my website if you want. Which is a bit strange. When I'm down in Antarctica, I spend hours every day writing, sitting in my cabin writing. But you know, sometimes you get a bit over, you can see a bit too much scenery and a bit too many icebergs and stuff like that, and you need some time off. So anyway, yeah, I saw some whales in Admiralty Bay and, of course, lots more penguins and things like that. But there wasn't a whole lot to see there. Mainly it was the idea was to bring them on board and go down. So the next day that we had, which I would quickly look up on the calendar that I had here. Yeah, so that was 4 days in total that we had there. So day three in Antarctica, probably down in Antarctica, was the main scenic cruising day. And we cruised down through these channels, these really wide channels, the Neumayer Channel. Well, it's not actually the Neumayer Channel. It was some other much wider channels there. But down right, you know, off the left side, off the port side of the ship, is the actual mainland of Antarctica, the Antarctic Peninsula. And then across on the other side are all the different islands, like and all these different islands are named after places in Holland, because what happened was that, you know, these different nationalities sent expeditions down there, and because the place is completely empty all the time, they can just go, well, this island we'll call it this, and this island is called it this, and all these islands are huge islands, but you know, of course, nobody's ever been down there, so all of these places were named after the sponsors of their trip and the people who gave them money and the towns that they'd come through. So there's Anvers Island and all these other, and the Neumayer Channel, you know, it's all these Dutch names down there, down this area as well. And it's just an amazing place to visit. You know, it's like I say, the main cruising, I took loads of photos, loads of penguins and seals and a few whales. There's the certain birds that are down there as well, which are like, you know, you don't get them anywhere else except for right down in the southern part of Antarctica. And again, it's really it's hard to explain what you see, because it's just mountains and icebergs and glaciers. But then in the distance, you'll see another ship, and suddenly everything becomes into scale, and it's like, and you actually just realize how massive everything is. I'll put some photos up there on the blog post that accompanies this podcast, just showing the size. You know, you look at it and you go, oh, that's pretty big, and then you realize this mountain's probably around about 700, maybe 1,000 meters high, and there's this, and on top of the mountains there's an ice cap, which is probably another few, like maybe another 100 meters thick, this sort of another glacier that's on top of it there as well. A few things that I wanted to do, of course, is, except for just taking lots of photographs, is to juggle, because everywhere I go in the world, I want to get a video of myself juggling. I started that last year, and this year I'm doing the same. And so I decided to go out on the top deck, and there was gale force 8 winds. So I went out above the bridge on this sort of like this railinged off area out the front of the ship, and I could hardly stand up. But yet I juggled out there, and it was quite an impressive thing. The guy who was videoing me, his hat blew off as he was doing it. I had a glove in my pocket, and that blew out of my pocket at one point and just got blown away. And yeah, normally I was planning on juggling five balls, but that was just never going to happen. Three ball juggling was too difficult. And normally when you drop a beanbag, it just hits the ground and goes thud and doesn't roll away. But as soon as I was dropping it, the wind was so strong that it was blowing it away. But then the wind was so strong that as I was like bending down into the wind to pick the ball up, I couldn't actually bend down into the wind because, well, it kept on blowing me back up again. So it looks like on the video I'm being stupid and pretending not to be able to pick the ball up, and when I'd bend down in the other way, getting blown over and diving down for it. But no, actually that was just the wind. It was way too windy to do any kind of proper juggling. But I had a lot of fun out there as well, and other people had a lot of fun sort of watching me struggle at the same time. Check out the video though as well, quite funny. And the other thing that I wanted to do is to go for a swim, sit in a hot tub in Antarctica, which again, I'd done this before last time I was here, but this time I thought, oh, I'll get some good photos. So I did this, and of course it was absolutely freezing. Alan, another entertainer, mentalist who's on board, he got some video of me and took some photos of me sitting in the hot tub, which is actually when the water was really hot, but the wind coming across the deck was so freezing cold that I had to sort of put my hat on in the while I'm sitting in the water. And then I ran down to the back of the ship and jumped into the pool at the very back of the ship as well, but that water wasn't as warm as the hot tub, so I had to jump out of that and go back up again and things. So later on, of course, the wind died down, and we had quite a big group sitting in the hot tub. I think there was like 7 or 8 of us, maybe 9 of us, sitting in the hot tub out on the top deck of the ship, which is actually quite funny because everyone walking past was going, oh, like this. I'm saying, no, it's actually quite pleasant when you come in. And so a lot of people joined me. Talking of the wind, actually, when we got down to the southern end of this, to the southern end of the Neumayer Channel, because that was the way that we're going to do it, I looked, and there was these massive icebergs being like blasted across by this wind, and you know, you could really see the wind, and the ship was tipping over to the side. You know, quite like, you know, this ship has got what, 3,500 people on board in total. It's a massive ship, and the wind catches the side of it. It's just like a huge big sail. The icebergs, though, are like a cruise ship is what, 90% out of the water, 80% out of the water. The iceberg is the other way around. It's sort of like 90 to 80% underneath the water, so they don't get caught by the wind hardly as much. So if the ship loses power, that drifts, or even when it's under power, it drifts at a different speed than the ice does. So so what happened was that I looked at the way through to the Neumayer Channel, and I was like, there is absolutely no way the ship is going to go through there. And about a minute later, the captain came on over the tannoy and said, there's absolutely no way we're going to go through there. So we actually just turned around and went back up the same channel that we went down to, which was actually quite pleasant as well. But just turning around, as you sort of, as the ship turned and caught the wind on the side, the whole thing lurched over so much to the side. Not as bad as it has been, in the past on other cruise ships that I've been in, when it sort of catches the wind, catches a really like a gale force 9 or 8 or 9 or something like that. But it was very impressive. You get a taste of the Antarctic weather. And of course, during the day, sometimes it's like brilliant sunshine, still absolutely freezing on deck, but it's brilliant sunshine. And another time it'll be absolutely freezing cold, and another time it'll be brilliant sunshine, and then it'll be like snowing. And then it's just the weather down in Antarctica is just, you know, all the time on and off. You can't predict it, you can't see it coming at all. And that's why you often get these reports of smaller cruise ships in there. They'll get caught out by a gust of wind and hit an iceberg, or hit an island, or hit a rock or something like that, and damage propellers, or there was a few that one that sank a few years ago on the same, and that was in the 2007 when I first went down there as well. A ship sank. Now, of course, that's another reason why you don't want one of these large cruise ships to sink, because if our ship went down, like I say, it doubles the population of Antarctica. There's no other big cruise ships coming down there, so they'd have to charter another cruise ship to come down to Antarctica to pick up all the people there from the cruise ship, which must be quite bad. Well, I guess it's never happened. I don't think any cruise ship is that size will ever do anything stupid enough to sink itself. But hey, there's a possibility of that, and you really don't want that to happen in Antarctica. Anyway, I've been going on way too long here, 18 minutes. These were meant to be 10-minute updates. So what else was I going to say about this? Yeah. So heading back up as well through... Oh, the last day. Let's just get back there as well. Went to Deception Island after another night of cruising up through the Antarctic Peninsula. Now, Deception Island is an amazing island because it's hollow. It's a volcanic caldera, and it has one channel open, this one like gap open to the sea. When I was down here on the Marco Polo, you can actually sail into the Deception Island and sail around. Some cruise ships actually stop there, and because there's hot springs, you can get out in the Zodiac. object and go over to where the hot springs are and actually swim in the sea and paddle in the sea in Antarctica. There's like icebergs floating by, but then because of the hot springs that are there, you can actually go swimming in the sea with just some swimming trunks on as well, like that. So much better than going in the swimming pool like I did. But that's, so that's possible. You can do that, except you have to be on a smaller ship to do that. And of course, the Marco Polo could go in and sail around, but the ship that we're on... this ship is way too big to go in through and actually into Deception Island. So we sort of like stayed outside the front end of Deception Island. The ship turned round. Me, I never got out of bed. I just took some photos out of my my cabin window, and that was it. I've been there before. I've got all the photos I need to of Deception Island. But again, because it's all volcanic, the geology there is amazing. You can see all the layers of the rock. Most geology is all covered up all the time. Around the rest of the world, there's trees and bushes and grass and dirt. Now, there's no dirt or trees or bushes or anything down here in Antarctica. So all of the geology, when it's not covered in ice, is all on the surface, and you can see it. Really, it's an amazing thing to actually see, like where the rocks have been broken away or have been sheared away by the ice. You can see all the layers, and you can see the volcanic the granite and the basalt or whatever it's called forcing its way up through the cracks in the other rock. It's very, very impressive. So that was it, and then we're heading now up towards Cape Horn, across the Drake Passage again. The sea isn't too bad this time, but it's getting worse. But hey, I'm had a lot of fun out here. So that's it. There's some bits of story. Again, if you've got any questions about Antarctica, if you think you might want to go, if you're not quite sure if it's worth it to go down there, of course, there's no real cheap option to do it. You've got to go down to Ushuaia or down to Punta Arenas to get down there at all now after this cruise, I guess, or after this season. But it's an amazing place. I feel really privileged to be able to go down there twice in two different ways and see two different sides of Antarctica. Well, not two different sides. Always down to the Antarctic Peninsula. But different aspects of Antarctica the two times I've been down there. It's amazing. Again, one of the favourite destinations, even if you're just doing the scenic cruising. It's amazing. Anyway, that's it for me. And next up, I'll probably talk a bit about Cape Horn or Ushuaia. So I'll catch you next time.